Praise the Lord. This is some of the answers that God gave us in prophetic words over our congregation and over what we do online. And for Edison Company and the many different companies that take their time off and watch us online, we say to you, see what God can do when you are purposed by his call. Dr. Mila brought to us a prophetic word, and the charge is to cleanse our doubt of the why God will prosper us. I'm going to say that again, to charge us to cleanse our doubt of the why God prospers us, to really align it that God has a plan in your life as you live in his presence. The battle, the satanic battle that is in our world that went after the church, went after the family, and the personal identity of people, is we are seeing a transformation and a change in our communities today. So today, this deception that has been out there ever since COVID and a little bit before COVID, let's find out and get some real truth by understanding God's desire for us. Or let me say it another way, that God has a desire. And today we're going to learn about that desire, but again, we're talking about living in the presence of God and allowing ourselves to have a life and a passion and a desire to spend time with him. In Genesis chapter 1, God, who is completely self-sufficient, he's completely self-existent and self-sustaining, has a desire. So if you're questioning that, because sometimes people don't understand, and we're going to talk about this, that we are created in the image and likeness of God and we have desires. The reason why we have desires and a desire is because God has one. We're created in his image. So the first point I want to bring to you, and I'm going to charge into this, and we're going to go pretty quickly in the things I'm going to say. But my first point is God made me from him. God made you from him. Or you can say, God made us out of him. I want to say something now that is not grammatically correct, but I wrote this down. When God was creating and making things, he spoke what he wanted it to be made of. Or to be made from him, and also to be sustained by and to return to him. So when God created something, God made, he spoke to what he wanted made to something he's going to make it out of. So when you understand that, then we begin to see the desire of God that is unfurled. I want to remind you, in the beginning, God created some things and God made some things. He created some things and he made some things. Theologically, I know they're going to get a little deep here for a second, but this is very important that we understand the theological aspect of that. When you create something, you create it out of nothing. When you make something, You form something out of something else. So this might disappoint you, but you need to understand you can't create anything. You make things out of some other things, but you can't create. You have creative abilities because you're made by God, but you really can't create anything. We can't make something out of nothing. All right? So if I came over to your house and you said to me, Pastor, I created this vase, I would say to you, no, you didn't. You made that vase. Because you just didn't say, vase, and it appeared. But you grabbed something that was already created and made the vase out of what was already created, or made the vase out of something else. But God did that. God said, let there be light. And there was light. So again, God created some things and he made some things. Let me remind you now, in this series we're doing, Living in God's Presence, we are basically talking about worship is the catalyst of entering into the presence of God. But also we're talking about what does it mean to be in his presence? What does it mean to live on a daily basis in God's presence? It is very important you catch this principle. When God made things, he spoke to whatever he was making to come from, to be sustained by what it came out of, and then returned to that. Genesis 1:11. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so. So let's look at this. God said, let the earth bring forth. He spoke to the earth to make something. Or earth, bring forth. He told the earth to bring forth plants, trees, and grass. God didn't say, let there be trees. He spoke to the earth to make trees. So he said, earth, bring forth. Why? Because he wanted trees, plants, and grass to be sustained by dirt and then return to dirt. Genesis 1:20, let's go on. Let's keep this thought. Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So fish are sustained by water. Verse 24. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and the beasts of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. So earth sustains animals and go back to dirt. I'm making a big deal of this is because if we don't understand this, then we're not really going to understand living in God's presence. And there will be a demonic influence that will always bring shame into your life and tell you you're worthless and you're not good enough to do this. When God is saying, I've called you to be the mayor of South El Monte. I called you to be in a city council. But God, you know me, you know my personnel, you know God called you. He's given you the ability. And the only way to truly understand that you can succeed in that call is know that you came from God. And it's the God of promotion, Psalm 75, and it's the God of authority that says to you, I called you to do this. I appoint you to do this. So when all the ugliness happens, we can relate this in all of our lives and everything that we do. When the ugliness happens, you stand firm because you know God's the one that called you. So let me tell you one more time. When God wanted something, he spoke to what he wanted it to come from, to be sustained by, and to return to. So when God wanted us, he spoke to himself. Remember, whatever he spoke to, what he wanted, what he was making to come from, and to be sustained by, and to return to. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man. The word make, so we come from something. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. So you and I came from God, were sustained by God, and then we return to God. Eternal life. So some would say, well, Pastor, I got a problem with that. Doesn't the Bible say God formed man out of the dust of the ground? Didn't we come from dirt? Aren't we sustained by dirt? And go back to dirt. Well, here's your answer. God made my body, your body, from or out of dirt. My body came from dirt, is sustained by dirt, and will go back to dirt. But my or your spirit came from God and is sustained by God and goes back to God. So my body is sustained by dirt. My body is sustained by fruit and vegetables and pizza that came from dirt. Right? If plants are pulled out from the dirt, what happens to them? They die. If man says to God, I am pulling out, and said to God, I'm going to make it on my own, God said, the day you do, you will die. Adam and Eve, but their bodies didn't die because their bodies came from dirt. It's sustained by dirt and will go back to dirt. But because of sin, death entered. Death entered, and men began to die. And the lifespan became shorter and shorter. So people ask, with Adam and Eve, why didn't they die? The answer is, they did die. They died spiritually, separated from God. Ephesians 2:1 says this, and you he made alive, speaking of Jesus, who were dead in trespasses and sins. John 10:10 says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So we were dead spiritually. That's why Jesus came. Let's look at point two. God made me like him. He made me like him in his image. So I'm still trying to explain, if God has a desire who is self-sufficient, self-sustaining, what is that desire? Think about it. So God made someone just like him, Adam. And in Genesis 2:20, let's read something in a moment. In the Bible before the fall, follow my thought. Adam has no impure thoughts before the fall. or impure desires, because sin had not manifested itself yet. So God makes a replica of himself, and the one that God makes, who is exactly the way he is, has a desire. So I'm telling you, Adam had a desire. Why did Adam have a desire? It's because he was made from God. So if he's made from God, Adam has a desire, that means God has a desire. So in Genesis 2:20, it says, so Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable, a companion to him. So why would the Bible out of this in creation just say, but Adam didn't, he was lonely. It didn't say he was lonely. But it said he didn't have a companion. Adam looked around and didn't see a companion, so he said something about it. That's what his thoughts were. So God causes a deep sleep, you know the story, on Adam as he is naming the animals, and he wakes up, and his last memory is naming the animals, and he wakes up, and standing in front of him is a brand new animal. And he said, whoa, man. That's how she got her name, woman. No, just kidding. And men, don't you look at me that way, because we still say that. Anyways, so again, how did God know Adam desired a bride? The answer is because God had and has the same desire of having a bride. At the time that this happened, there was no sin, so Adam's desire was pure. He wanted a bride, and God knew that, because God has the same desire. God created you in his image, and you have a will because God has a will. And love, remember last week? Love is a choice for us to choose to be with God, as he already chose to be with you and me. Rick, if you're still watching, God chose you, and he loves you. And if you will take that step in loving him back, this pain you are facing in your life will be transformed and changed. When you talk about a companion, you want someone that you choose to love, not to have to love. You choose to love. See, God could have created a robot. When Adam woke up, could have been this one. Hello. Right? See, love isn't robotic. Love is a choice. It's from the inside. And the only way to truly understand that love is that you live in the presence of God, because God is love. For you to recognize and understand in your marriage, in your relationships, love is you have to understand the one that created you. Like some of us who buy something new and we don't read the directions. We don't read the directions from the Creator. So when we don't spend time with God, we don't live in his presence and jump into that in worship and all of this, what happens? We don't know the direction. We don't know who the Creator is. Even though we've accepted Jesus, we're going to heaven, we still don't know that. And when we face the difficulties of life, some of this in the political field that we heard, we struggle and we can't handle it. Why? Because we don't understand the love of God. Because it's the love of God that will withstand any attack the enemy brings. Bottom line, So this is what I want us to see, and we're going to go to our last point. So God made me from heaven to be sustained by him and go back to him. Then he made me in his image, so I have the same desire that he has. His desire is a bride. Love is a choice. That love that you understand by living in the presence of God will break every emotional difficulty you are walking in your life when you understand this. Here's the third point. And God made me to love him. Remember last week what I said? It's a choice, because love is a choice. God made me with a desire to love, to have companionship. And in this relationship, the struggle that people have in living in the presence of God is a struggle with the physical relationships. And they're struggling with the difficulties of life. And because of the difficulties of life, we feel shame. Because none of us are perfect. We all make mistakes. We all sin and come short of the glory of God. But that's why we needed God. That's why we needed Jesus. The best way to live in his presence is a lifestyle of worship. And worship, remember last week, is expressing love. Expressing love. Oh, yeah, I like a little CCR and, you know, different contemporary groups. You know, child of the 60s and 70s. But when you praise him, you're expressing love to him. Last week we learned if you can't sing a note, that's okay. Put on that music, worship music, and sing at the top of your lungs. Let me give you a secret, though. But if you sing at the top of your lungs, turn the radio up. It's simplistic. Because God made you this way. You're sustained by God. Every aspect of your life. We all need to understand what I'm about to say. Anytime you give to God, you will receive back, because that is God's nature. If you say to God, I love you, you know what he says back to you? I love you more. If you say to God, there is no one I would rather be with, God will say to you, there's no one I'd rather be with than you right now. If you would say, I would die for you, God would say, I did die for you. So God's greatest desire is you. God's greatest desire is to spend time with you. His desire is you would choose to love him. We are the worship leaders now. Satan was removed from that position. God promotes and God sets down. And God promoted every one of us to be a worshiper. So let me read some scriptures to you. And I want you to see the theme of the scripture, which will show God's desire, which will show God's heart. Now, I don't normally do this, but I'm reading, I'll say it, a ton of scriptures right now, but I'll be really fast, okay? Exodus 6:7. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians or slavery. Leviticus 26:12. I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. Jeremiah 7. But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God. And you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Jeremiah 11:4. Which I commanded your fathers in the day I brought them out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice and do according to all that I command you, so shall you be my people, and I will be your God. Jeremiah 24, then I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and for they shall return to me with their whole heart. Jeremiah 30, you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Jeremiah 31, but this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Ezekiel 11, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Hosea 2, 23, then I will sow her for myself in the earth, and I will have mercy on her who had not obtained mercy. Then I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people, and they shall say, you are my God. Zechariah 8, I will bring them back, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. They shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and righteousness. New Testament, some people say, oh, I don't believe the Old Testament. Well, here's the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 6, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Hebrews 8:10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Revelation 21, Revelation. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Did you see it? Amen. When Adam and Eve sinned, Father God went to his son and said, son, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to tell you that your bride is going to have to die. And Jesus said, Father, what can I do? Father God said, someone has to die. And then Jesus said, let it be me. And he died for you. Rick, he died for you. He died so that the bride could live. Jesus died so his bride could be made alive again. That's you and me. The church is the bride of Christ. Because you and I are his greatest desire. I want to break through this deception, religious deception. I want to break through all of this and let you understand God's desire was to love you and you love him and spend time with him on a daily basis, to enjoy his presence, to see all that he has planned for you to manifest. Even though the enemy, even though life will bring tribulation, as Scripture tells us, you are created in God's image and likeness. And you have the perfect ability to love God, to be sustained by God, and one day all of us will go back to God. But we have the privilege of living in his presence today, of enjoying the fullness of God, not just once in a while. This is for your family. This is for the church. And this is for your identity. See the world just fighting all of this. It's because they're not living in the presence of their Creator, who made them, who made us in His image and likeness. I know who I am in Christ. How about you? Let's all stand. Praise it. Go ahead. Yeah. For the Lord, anyways. If you're here today, you don't know Jesus Christ. You're watching online, listening to podcast. If you don't know Jesus Christ, the Bible says, simple. Believe in your heart. Because of that belief, out of that faith, confession comes out of your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and you shall be saved. That's the reality of all it is. All three of our services today are going to be absolutely transforming because of the anointing that is in our services. And I want you to understand that today is the first day of the rest of your life. One of my mentors, to me, my best mentor, used to always say that. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Choose you this day to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and begin basking into His presence. Father, I thank You for the celebration of You and of Your promotions that have manifested this past month. In Jesus' name, thank You that every one of us has a place in this world to help change lives and to better others, to love people, to be gracious and kind, but to be steadfast in who we are in Christ. Thank You, Lord, for those that now are receiving the Lord. Thank You, those that now have been inspired to live in Your presence. In a Valley Community Church, Lord, help us to see Your desire, that passion, that as we gather together again, the services today gather together in Jesus' name, that the power of relationship and love would just manifest because why? We live in Your presence. Blessings over our homes. Oh God, just change our homes in Jesus' name. Not because anything's wrong, but because of a greater understanding of who we are in Christ. And the image and the likeness that we walk in. I come against sickness and disease. I come against diseases that have run rampant in some families. Today is that first day of healing that will arise in your home. And we thank You, Lord, for that. Thank You for Your promise, Your callings. And we will come under Your calling and see Your plans manifest. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. God bless you. Love you. Have a great day.